Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo, and when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth, and when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You guys, OMFG, breaking news from Andy's Girl Central. Ask and ye shall receive. After only 128 or 9-ish or 7-ish episodes of Andy's Girls, by demand, there is now available for purchase official Andy's Girls merch. What? Oh my God. Craziness. Oh my God. And a free whisper. With every item sold, you have magnets, you have stickers. I think there's a button. There's definitely a mug, t-shirts, hoodies, materials, lusters, so much. I am now, can you believe it, the owner of an international fashion lifestyle brand. My goodness. Link to purchase on the description of this app, OMG. Thank you to T Public. So thrilled. I hope you guys love it. So many options, so little time before BravoCon. So make sure to buy your Andy's Girls merch today. Send me a photo. Send me a little, you know, text slide into my DM situation, yada, internet, OMG. I want to see you guys killing it in Andy's Girls attire at BravoCon, at the office, on date night. Just everyday life. And I hope you enjoy this week's episode of AG, which will be even funnier if you're listening to it while wearing a Andy's Girls hoodie. All right, guys, enjoy. Bye, Steph. In the train of life, I ride business.
Okay, so this is me as Lisa Rinna. Am I going to talk shit this year or own it? Depends.
I like a thinker. I like when, because Lord knows you've done enough taglines. I like that you had to like, you had to introduce it. You had to provide
I
background.
I thought, you know, I was like, well, I was trying to write one for myself. And then I was like, well, I think I wrote one for Lisa Rinna a while back. I'm going to bring that one
up. Well, at least someone is writing for Beverly Hills. So I appreciate your good work. You guys.
Hello.
It's Andy's Girls, episode 128-ish. And you guys, it's an OG of the AG Spectacular.
Hi, hi, hi.
Damian Valino, senior producer at VH1, writer, comedian, bon vivant, co-creator and co-host of the amazing podcast You Might Know Her From, which just started its second season.
It's true.
You can get that anywhere, just anywhere.
You know, I'm always talking about The Housewives on it still. I can't get out of it.
I mean, it is the best place to be.
Eileen Davidson is connected to so many people who are actors.
Yeah, who, which,
So Talia Balsam, right, who was on Divorce and Mad Men and is married to John Slattery, right, and was married to George best Clooney. Credit. She is cousins-in-law with, she's a Van Patten, so.
Right, so she's related to Eileen through Vinny.
Yes. And then also I've interviewed, now it hasn't aired yet, but I interviewed Talia's mother, who is Joyce Van Patten, who is a character actress for forever, and she is Vinny's aunt.
Is she based in New York?
She is.
She feels like a New Yorker. How old is she? 80s?
Yeah, in her 80s.
How was that?
Wonderful. But I asked her about Eileen. Like, I can't stop because I feel like it's like my, it's like, well, this is one of the things that I know is like your niece, and like niece-in-law was on.
Why don't you have Eileen on?
Well, I need to try to get her on.
Because you might know her from the concept of it is talking to these women who may or may not be like household names, but have had remarkable careers. Yeah. Like a lot of character actresses.
Eileen, absolutely. I mean, all of the housewives who are actors could count. Eileen, Lisa, Rinna.
If you ever have Rinna on, I am inviting myself to that blessed event.
Can we talk about Beverly Hills? I know that it's not on the air, but it was on my mind, which is why my thing is Lisa Rinna related.
Yeah, there was some, it was on my mind because some blog said that like production or the producers or Bravo HQ is really unhappy with the footage so far, that they think it's dumb, which like, spoiler alert, duh, because so was the second half of last season. So if you keep that entire cast intact and then add Garcelle Beauvais and that woman who like owns a store, what do you think is going to fucking happen?
Nothing. Why are you against Garcelle?
Listen, I think Garcelle's greatest credit is when she was filing for divorce from her ex-husband and sent an email to his agency telling everyone that he like
to me that means that she could be a wonderful addition.
But I'm concerned that because it's Beverly Hills, I don't know if she's going to get messy, and I'm concerned that she's going to kind of like swan in like a woman who has a successful acting career, which I don't know if she still does, but at one point she did. She was like consistently working, and she doesn't appear to me to be someone that's going to bring the drama. Like, I think she's going to be maybe potentially a less successful or equal version of Denise Richards, and that role is already filled. Like, I don't look at her and think like, oh great, it's another Rinna.
I think that I am hopeful because of the way that she took her ex-husband down by basically blast emailing like,
yeah, that was phenomenal,
WME about how he had an affair while
and told
she was pregnant
all of
twins.
His colleagues.
So I think that's badass and hilarious, and like that is exactly the kind of person I want on reality TV. Here's why I have concern for her is that because they've made such a big deal about how she's the first black woman on another franchise.
Yeah.
It's not that she isn't going to want to come on and be like the trashy or over the top or shitster or whatever, ratchet, whatever you want to call her. She's not going to want to come in and be the black woman to upset the white cast because then it's going to be a target, like a racial thing.
She might be feeling sensitive about like this terrible stereotype.
The optics, yeah.
And because she is the first woman of color on Beverly Hills, there's unfortunately the perception of undue pressure on her.
But I would love for her to come in and be messy as hell, because I don't know that I knew Lisa Rinna's like personality enough. All I just knew is that she loved to like be on television and would take any job. So I felt like she would show up for her job. So I hope that Garcelle will be the same.
So what do you think about Beverly Hills? I mean, like, what are your thoughts about
the thing that I had read was that that Bravo execs said the footage was good but bland, and that the women there was the risk of them getting fired still because they were unhappy and there were no major plot points, drama, or like everything was a petty argument. And it just like got me thinking like, okay, well, what are these new women going to operate? I feel like there's already kind of extraneous people, i.e. Teddy. And then I was like, well, was the solution to keep Lisa Vanderpump? Like, for sure it wasn't, because she didn't want to play ball anymore. And she was like annoyed that she got called out. And then I was like, well, they chose to fire Camille. Either the network did or the production company or both agreed. Like, somebody said we needed to get rid of Camille.
I don't know. You don't think that they were begging her to come back because she had conflict and she said that she refused to?
She said she was asked not to come back. in an Instagram comment. She said, I was already informed I'm not coming back, to somebody who's like...
That's surprising to me. I thought she had said something having to do with the opposite, but I didn't read it myself.
So, okay. So this is like all... I'm sorry. I have so much to say.
No,
so
tell me everything, Damien. We're going to be here forever.
So I was just thinking about Beverly Hills because then I read a thing where Brandy had like been interviewed and she said, oh, I've been talking a little bit about maybe filming. I know they're already filming and I text with a lot of the ladies so I know all the gossip. But I've like... She said she had a conversation with Andy about possibly returning for the 10th season. And I was thinking about it and I think... Based on the way OC is this season, I think that New York and Beverly Hills are going to do what they need to do, which is start bringing cameos of people that are back who have pre-existing drama and history with these people. Because the fact that they brought back my cousin Alexis Bellino and Megan King Edmund showed up. And I was like, oh, my God, my favorite.
In 2 weeks in a row.
And I was like, oh, two people who yeah. now. And I was like, are they trying to build the possibility that they could be friends of? Are these just cameos? Are they possibly coming back next season? I think they want the fans to wonder those things. Like, they want to build the universe. So it's weird to me that Beverly Hills decided, we lost Lisa Vanderpump and Camille. Let's bring in two totally new people. When it's like, to me, Dorit and Erica and, like, everybody post Rinna and Eileen joining is still kind of new. You know, like, Erica and Dorit and Teddy and Denise are all still, like, earning their stripes. So it's weird to me to add yet two new people. It's like, bring Taylor and Camille and Adrian back on, even if just as friends of, to watch them spiral and create drama with Kyle. Because they'll be like, Kyle, you know, like, everyone's trying to give Kyle this narrative that she is the queen of Beverly Hills now that Lisa's gone. Kyle's the queen. If Erica said, Kyle's the queen at the reunion, it's like, sick. We need drama. Bring back people who are going to be like, well, cool. Kyle just is like paying you guys all so that you're not talking about Mauricio's lawsuits and potential cheating.
And the nice thing, I totally agree. And the nice thing about bringing back an OG or someone who is OG-esque is they can provide a valuable real world trigger for the remaining housewives. Like, that's why I keep talking, and I'll talk about this until the end of days, why Jill is so interesting to bring back for New York, because she has a genuine frenemy-esque relationship that ebbs and flows with Ramona Singer, plus several others, Lou and several others. So it's like that, they might be jealous of the people that have remained on the show and become very successful or even more famous or rich or whatever else. But also, I think on a visceral level, there is that bond there that maybe preceded the show or maybe became real because of the show. But that is like, it's not that it's unbreakable. It's just genuine to me. That's what I love when they bring these women back. It feels genuine.
I think that the...
For us as the viewers, maybe
absolutely.
Not for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that the... tease of Megan and Alexis on OC made me think that, okay, for the Brandys and the Jills, two of the people who I think probably had the hardest time coming back, because I feel like Jill, because she has apparently a thorn in the side of production, is my what I've gleaned from what I've read and heard, and Brandy, because I think she sort of has, like, when they've gone like low, she's gone lower. Yeah. So I think that both of them have had interesting relationships with the viewers and also the network and production company. But like, now is the time where it's like, Brandy could come back in. She's cool with Kyle, right? But she doesn't, she has nothing, like, she can also cause drama with Dorit or with Teddy to create drama.
You don't think she's become a la your BFF Kim Richards, like, too sad and depressing and desperate?
No.
You don't?
Nope.
Why?
Because I think that she's funnier and lighter than Luann and Bethany. Like, that Luann Bethany fight that was like epic is like all rooted in such darkness between both of them. And like, Brandy stuff is like, she like is poor and like will do anything on television to make a check. And to me, that's like funny, because she'll be like, I'm on this show because I have kids.
I wonder if Eddie would let her show them. Maybe they have, like, a better relationship. I think she's, like, getting along with Leanne or whatever.
God, bring Leanne Rimes and Brandy on as, like, that would be a new housewife that would at least make sense.
Well, Brandy is going on Watch What Happens. I forget if it's this week or next week or coming up with Kelly Dodd. They're doing a Brandy and Kelly Dodd, which will be the end. Kelly Dodd is not... I don't... Listen, Kelly Dodd... We'll deep dive into OC, but I can't take Kelly Dodd live. It's actually too much for me. I get very nervous. It's not fun. It's, like... It veers off. So I don't think Andy enjoys it. I think he probably enjoys like the mess that is made in the sense that people talk about it, but it is like too wild. Like, she needs someone.
Do you think they have security when the two of them are coming? I'm not even kidding. Do you remember last time like Brandy slapped Jeff Lewis, and then, or like Jeff Lewis slapped Brandy.
Well, but they, one of them didn't know the other one was in on the joke, and then they both like thought it was real, and they both thought it was fake, and it was a complete mess of a nightmare.
Yeah. I mean, anyway, the point of my like rant is just that I don't know what's going to happen with Beverly Hills, but I'm hopeful that they will come to their senses and be like, okay, we need to like incorporate like Camille back in and Brandy back in. And like, I want Maloof just to see money, you know?
I feel really not optimistic. I really feel like, but I was wrong. OC week 5 has been fucking killing it. So like, who the hell knows? When OC started, I was like, I was essentially forcing myself. I was like choking it down like a vitamin that wasn't actually making me feel better. It was not for me. So I don't know. I could be totally wrong. Tell me
what's obviously happening. Kelly Dodd is the star of the season. And like, yeah, she is the reason that there's any story.
Yep.
But I'm shocked to say that like Emily and Gina are the next two in tier, like two level. Like it is a total shock to me. First of all, that Emily, not only Emily and Gina stuff, but like Emily's husband, because then she was on Watch What Happens Live and she was like, we're not getting a divorce. He's just awful. But like, she was like, and I was like, oh, I kind of think that like Emily's one of those people who will only get a divorce if viewers tell her to at a certain point, because they're going to be like, stop being in a relationship with him. Because she seemed kind of like, yeah, this is who I married. Like, this is who he is.
I mean, don't think Emily actually ever considered getting a divorce from him. I think she just decided she would be a little bit more open with the camera crews about how bad it is. But I think ever since he like DM'd her or like G-chatted,
I think that she is okay with what it is.
I think she's completely okay. I don't think she ever genuinely considered divorce. I think she has decided that this is what marriage should be, like deeply unhappy where you're pulling the weight for both of them and calling it a day. Can you hold my microphone? I'm very hot. I need to take off my sweater.
Yeah, this is great. Are we going to edit this out?
No.
Yeah, Emily and Gina providing story is a total stunning shock to me.
I'm wearing a costume.
Heather, I mean,
okay,
Sarah is wearing a shirt that says "I stand for Shan."
I realized the other day that I have never worn this. This is
it has 9 lemons in a bowl.
A British AG listener made this for me, and underneath, it's so tucked cute. In. Underneath it says like, "But I won't buy her QVC salmon cream cheese."
Oh, yeah.
So I felt like in honor of you coming back and me realizing I hadn't actually worn this shirt, we're gonna take a selfie maybe with it after if I think
it's
I look cute.
It's a cute shirt.
Thank you. Shout out to Taylor from somewhere in the United Kingdom for making this for me. It's amazing, and you know I love a gift, so
it's very cute.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays.
Shannon's is interesting this season. How do you feel?
I feel really good about it.
You feel good about her friendship with Tamara and Vicky?
I do not feel good about that. I feel really good about the fact that like I love when she laughs. I love that like domestic assault of a kiss from Marcos where she was like trying not to participate. Not that's terrible, that's not in any way appropriate, but I felt like it was like I was shuddering. It's like one of those things where you smell a disgusting food and you're like, the food looks repulsive and you're like, let me just smell it or let me have a taste, but you know it's gonna be disgusting, but you do it anyway. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt about that makeout session. It was awful. He looked like he was like starting with his tongue and then like moving over from there. I love Shannon. I love seeing her happy. I have no issue with her saying fun Shannon. I think she has made terrible strategic decisions. I do not understand to this day why you think aligning yourself with a woman who got full on demoted was a good idea. I don't think that like bodes well for the future. I think Shannon is best right now when she's like doing whatever she does with Emily, trying to find some kind of whatever with Gina, and like chilling the fuck out with Kelly. Like that is the best Shannon to me. Like, but regardless, I love when Shannon's happy. And I posed this as a question to AG folks this week, which was on Instagram, because I love hearing from you guys. And I was like, who is your like heart song? Because when I think of Shannon Bedore, I'm not saying she's the best Real Housewife that there ever is, but and ever will be. But when I think of Shannon Bedore, I genuinely like my heart gets like filled with like love and affection, because I love her. I love the evolution that she's undergone. I love seeing her rediscover herself. I think she's really funny. I love when she laughs. I like she is my Archie Bedore, and I have a fish named Archie Bedore who's in my bedroom. I just like, she just brings me happiness, and sometimes it doesn't, I don't know how to describe it except to say like I feel a bond with her that I don't feel with anybody else, certainly on like OC, although that's like a relatively low bar. I just love her. I know that people are like, oh, Shannon, and she's making bad choices this season and whatever, but I really genuinely just have so much affection for her that she's one of those people that like I don't I am fine criticizing her because no one is perfect and she's made strategic errors and communicative errors this season and seasons past. But that doesn't mean I don't love her. But when you love someone, you like need to tell them when they fuck up.
Oh, for sure.
But I love her. Fine. Tell me.
No, I don't know that I have anything like controversial to
People
say.
People hate her.
I just think the Trace amigos are troublesome. And I think that Shannon's participation is not good.
I think if
I would think it would be really badass if she actually stood up against them and aligned herself with Kelly and Gina and Emily.
It feels like she tried to in that scene in Kelly's house when they were in like the basement bedroom and she was really pissed that Tamara and Vicky were coming back to her, coming back to each other. She did that in Iceland. She did that in the reunion when she felt like it looked like she was disgruntled and unhappy with being forced to like hug and speak to Vicky.
I think that,
but she just kind of went against her instincts.
Shannon thinks that Tamara and to a lesser extent Vicky are like the cool girls in school, and she feels like she wants to align herself with them because they make her feel cooler and prettier.
Don't you think that Shannon was a cool girl in school? She gives off cool girl in school, rich lady energy. I don't think she's ever really except that she could have been a lawyer, but like didn't do it.
I think there's a difference of growing up like wealthy and like running in like a cool crowd, but also there's a difference in like being like a pretty girl and popular girl. And I think like Tamara was like a pretty popular girl who probably wasn't rich.
The Shannon thing though, because she's talked, obviously such a huge part of Shannon's personality is like, I've gained weight, I've lost it, and when she talks about it in such a way where she's like, I was always a size zero, I was always a size four, I feel a little bit like, I think she was always that woman who looked in control of herself from her body image inside. Like she started with the exterior and she worked backward. And when she fell out of control and she was like gaining a lot of weight, I think she couldn't figure out who she was anymore because looking that way, like sort of icy almost, was so important to her that she kind of like lost her shit when, you know, this symptom of a greater disease took over, which was like gaining 40 pounds because, you know, her new best friend was talking about how her now ex-husband was like beating the shit out of her on national television over the course of several episodes. I don't know. I'm rewatching season 12 and it is fucking dark.
Oh my God. Why would you rewatch that?
I've rewatched like 10, 11. I'm doing some Lydia stuff now. Lydia's so dumb. I can't even, but watching Lydia and her mom interact makes me realize that like Judy, her mom, is the pure version of whatever the fuck Bronwyn's mom is, which seems like sort of a nasty, mean woman who's pretending that because she went to Burning Man for 3 hours or whatever the fuck she did, that she's like a ball of light. And that the teaser, I'm sorry, I'm getting off on a tangent, but like the teaser for next week of like her saying that a security guard like touched her and then accusing the event coordinator and then Bronwyn losing her shit, she feels like she has to stand up for her family. It just felt very toxic and unhealthy, and I just have an instinct that I do not like her mother. And if we're going to talk about TLC, I think Judy did a better job of it than this fucking rainbow of gross.
Anyway,
I think something controversial I'm going to say is that I thought Vicky was really funny this week in relation to Bronwyn, like calling her, being like, Bronwyn is being gross, I'm leaving. She's fucking dancing all sexy. And then also like Tamara's got to go. Like Tamara and Bronwyn like making out on the bar, like stool or whatever booth was too much. Bronwyn was licking Tamara's breast.
What was that whole thing about? Like, why? I have several questions. Did you think, was it disrespectful to the gay community that they're sort of like lesbian something or other, or like sexual fluidity, something where it's like almost, where they're, are they doing it for attention? Do they really want to like be up in each other's
vaginas, as Vicky says? I don't know if it's offensive to the gay community. I'm not sure if that's the right.
Is it like disrespect? Do you know what I'm trying to say? I feel like it's weird.
It feels kind of just like trashy. Like, why are you, like, are you gay? Like Vicky said, like, they're not gay, so why are they doing that? And it's sort of like, why are you doing that?
I think Bronwyn is maybe attracted to Tamara, but I don't understand what Tamara is doing. Is Tamara attracted to Bronwyn? Is that like any of my business?
They're making it your business by putting it on television. I mean, Tamara, I think, is into being thought to be attractive. So I think she just liked the attention. But it was like, don't do it if you don't want it. But if you want it, then it's like, yeah, then you're going to have to talk about it all season now.
So I got messages from people that were like, Vicky is only saying this because she's dating a cop now or because she's like a Republican or whatever. Oh. I couldn't figure out if Vicky was behaving the way she was. And P.S. that audio was weird to me when she was like, when they were intersecting the cuts of Bronwyn. Like, I believe Vicky absolutely said it, but it was the actual audio quality was going in and out, which I was like, what's going on there? But was Vicky saying those things or behaving that way or whatever? Was that because she's like Miss Conservative now? Was that because she was jealous? Like, what do you think was going on?
I think
that
she was like, I don't think she likes new people in the circle. And I think she thought it was too much. And like, and Tamara was also playing into it, which I think was annoying to her. She was like, I don't be around Bronwyn anymore. She's doing the most. And like, why are they making out? They're not gay. And I think that I agree. I thought it was funny. It didn't offend me. I thought I was offended more by the people who are participating in like being drunk women who are, live straight lives, but then like want to get drunk and like hook up on television and be like, oh my God, you're so pretty.
It is interesting that Vicky seems so over it, but then like flashes her tits on camera.
Fair.
All the time. But also that's not, that is a choice that she's making reflective of her body. That's not making out with someone when you're in like a relationship with somebody else and it's probably not over. I don't know. The whole thing like made me very confused. Like, how do you go home? I don't know. This is like so stereotypical of me, but like you go home and like your husband asks you how the, like if she had made out with a man, it would have been different. But if you're sexually attracted to this person,
yeah,
why does it matter?
Well, it seems like Bronwyn
is like a different, they have a different fluid marriage.
You mean Tamara?
Yeah. I don't think Eddie would have been cool if she was like, I made out with Steve Lodge.
I mean, I think that's the part that gets complicated, right? Because it's like, is it offensive? Because it's like, she doesn't deem it a real thing. So it's like fine to do it because like Eddie won't care because like I just made out with a girl. Like he knows I don't care. It's like, well, then why'd you do it?
And if you have an open marriage, God bless. Like that's amazing. But she doesn't. Does that work?
I didn't think that much into it. I just thought it was kind of like, it was really extra and not necessary.
Well, someone asked her on Watch What Happens or like, has Eddie seen the episode? And she seemed genuinely confused by the question where she's like, what does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, she was like, you guys, he's going to need to now because everyone's been tweeting at him or whatever.
I don't know. That was the one weird part, I was like,
honestly,
it's strange.
It wasn't even the kiss of like, I mean, Bronwyn was on top of her.
Yeah, they were on
her.
Top of each
it
other.
But it was like, also like, Bronwyn like pulled her top down and like sucked her like nipple. So like that to me is like beyond being like drunk and kissing. It's like, they were like, and like, I like, that's cool. I'm into like, God, two houses should fucking fuck. That would never happened.
That's the spinoff we've been missing.
But yeah, that's the
Housewives After Dark.
That's a spinoff on the NBC app you need to get. That's the Housewives spinoff.
That's Disney Plus.
Bronwyn and Tamara's relationship. But it was just so strange. I mean, I was into it because I was like, this episode is a mess, but I was into it. It was a good episode of television.
I think this was the fifth week in a row where I genuinely was like, this is giving me so much. And exactly what you were saying right before I took my clothes off, the Emily and Gina thing, I cannot get enough of, because I have been both of those women in different like fights with people or in my head, if I'm like fighting in my head, but haven't communicated to them. It is such an intense, emotional, to me, like super, super real fucking fight. And I asked folks, whose side are you on Insta? 82% said Emily, 18% said Gina, which is a landslide. 82% said Emily.
Interesting. Tamara said on Watch What Happens Live that Emily for sure knew that the cousin had a girlfriend.
Which, why did she say that? Did she say that because she has actual proof and they're getting ready for the reunions and I cannot wait to hear that proof? Because if there is actual proof that Emily really knew and that, as Tamara alleges, Emily was doing this so that this guy would get, that Shane's cousin would get screen time, or so that it was a plot, or so that they would have something on camera. If that is true, that changes the game entirely. But frankly, my gut fucking instinct is that Emily had absolutely no idea. And this is the thing that annoys the shit out of me with, like, I don't know, it seems emblematic of a lot of female friendships, which is you get screwed over by someone and you immediately believe the male guy who's screwing you over and not your good friend who's saying they had no idea. If she is believing the guy that lied to her already by pretending, what he was doing was he was lying to her by pretending that this was going to be a real date and that he was interested in, I don't know, eventually fucking her or whatever, taking some tips from Bronwyn on a Thursday night. Why on earth would you believe this guy who's already proven to be untrustworthy over your friend who has essentially been there for you, although you might not be feeling it lately because God forbid she's going through her own shit? Like, how does that make this is what I hate about, and I'm sorry, like, I'm saying this as a woman, but it seems so deeply emblematic of so many, when there's a guy involved, the people that will believe that person who's already proven to be a fucking liar over anyone else. And P.S., we're believing that a blood relative of Shane's was interested in being on camera and felt like, are you kidding? Shane, who, like, doesn't even know the cameras are there and, like, has no choice but to be completely repulsive, because that's just what he does, whether or not his wife is on a show.
I cannot believe they're together.
I can believe they're together, because Emily obviously has some shit. Poor, sweet, animated cartoon Emily, according to Tamara Judge, the worst thing she's ever said.
What did she say about her?
She said that Emily looks like Shrek. And, like, Emily, I have so many issues where I feel like Emily is the victim.
I also don't like the storyline of, like, Emily trying to lose weight and, like, going, I think
I'm pointing to you. Ding, ding, ding.
I think it's a weird, antiquated storyline. Like, we already dealt with it with Shannon, but Shannon was, like, a byproduct of her divorce. She felt, and, like, she felt like she had gained weight in being in an unhealthy relationship. And I didn't like watching it then. Like, I didn't like watching Shannon be the butt of the joke. I didn't like watching her feel insecure when Tamara would say stuff about her body. But now here we are, two seasons later, and we're talking, like, Emily's getting her BMI with, like, Eddie and Tamara. And I have to ask myself, like, the audience has only known Emily to be the size that she is.
Right.
We like, I assume that one of the reasons she was cast is because she is brunette and regular sized, opposed to a lot of the other women on this show. So I don't want to watch a storyline about her trying to lose weight. Like, I get it, everyone has body issues, but, like, it seems like I know that these people have to, like, provide what's going on in their lives and try to feed story. I don't want that to be her story, and I want her to be, like, more okay with who she is.
Okay, here's the reality. As someone who has had disordered eating my entire life since I was a child, something that I will live with probably for the rest of my life, I'm okay with Emily living her truth if her truth is that she genuinely struggles with, like, emotional eating or whatever. What I am not okay with, and what I got into it with Darren a little bit last week, is her communicating to production that she doesn't want her actual number on the scale showing, and them doing that. I feel like if this person, I don't know that, listen, you can gain weight and or lose weight and not have an eating disorder. But if you have a disorder, if you have disordered eating, it means that, like, you don't have a healthy relationship with eating, either eating too much, too little, or whatever else. And with Emily, I just think, like, if as someone who doesn't live inside of her body and soul, if she is struggling with anything having to do with emotional eating or whatever, she's been pretty open with wanting to lose weight and feel healthy and in her arthritis, whatever, affecting that, whatever else. And she's filming a scene because she thought about doing it a cut, or it was suggested to her, whatever, and she agrees to participate in that. But she explicitly says at one point, give me my weight, I'll look at the paper when I get home, which is a sign that she doesn't want to talk about the actual numbers. And then she herself says on Twitter that she told production not to include a photo of the scan. I myself think if I had been in that position and knowing that I have, like, a disorder or whatever, if no matter the number, at my thinnest and most overweight, the feeling is very, very, very similar, which is that you feel out of control or too much in control. And no matter what that number is, let us pretend without, I can't say enough that we don't know, like, her stuff and whatever else. But if she does have some sort of eating disorder or whatever that can be triggered by knowing what that scale is, and she told them not to use it, use the rest of the scene, but don't include the number. Like, why was it so important for us to see that number on the scale when she herself said that she didn't want it seen? I just think, like, I think if she's struggling with her weight and she's comfortable showing that, how many millions of people in our country specifically struggle with food stuff, eating stuff, or just stuff in general? If she's okay showing it, I'm okay watching it if it doesn't, like, trigger me, which it hasn't, because it feels real and connected and I'm not living Emily's life. But to show the number itself, and then for Tamara to get into a fucking Twitter fight with her because someone tweets Emily and says, like, you're beautiful, whatever, and Tamara, and she says, thank you, and Tamara takes that, or where this person's like, you're not obese. And Emily's like, thank you. And Tamara takes that as an insult and then starts lashing out at this woman who's already
I didn't see this.
And Tamara has since blocked Emily from like following her on Twitter, which is so stupid.
What is Tamara's
Tamara saw that Emily responded to a tweet that a listener sent her that or a viewer sent her that was like, listen, this is like what obese is. And I don't know what how BMIs work. I could not care less about them. But they were like, technically, it's not obese. It's like overweight. And Emily said, because we all think of all of these words as insults and weight is the most important thing. Emily says in response, thank you, because she felt like this person was like trying to defend her and whatever. And Tamara took that thank you as Emily being insulting to her and Eddie. And so she went on this whole rant about how crazy it was. And I talked about this with Darren last week because I just didn't understand why they needed to show the number. If she's already being super vulnerable and you want to talk about her, I don't know how BMIs work, honestly, and I don't care, but she's talking about she needs to lose weight and she's talking about how she gained a lot of weight in a short period of time and it's not healthy for her with her arthritis. It's not. Like, she understands that she needs to be, that in order to survive with like whatever her illness or whatever, she need, like needs to lose some weight and she wants to lose weight, which is most important. Why can't you talk about that weight loss journey without adding in the number, which she's already really vulnerable about?
Yeah.
It just, and then Darren's response was like, which I understood was like, she signed up for it and maybe it'll be helpful to people. But my thing is like, it doesn't, at one person's like after number could be another person's before. We all have different images and whatever else. But for a lot of people, the black and white number can be incredibly personal and private. And I just think she's giving you enough of a narrative in the scene that why did you need to show it?
Yeah, and the argument that really someone signed up for something is not a great argument about the ethics of reality TV. Like, the idea, like, oh, they signed up for it. It's like, let's watch Luann and Countess die. I mean, yeah, let's watch Countess and Kim die because they signed up for reality TV to document everything. It's like, it doesn't mean that you have to document everything either.
Well, and the thing with Shannon, too, is Shannon talked about her number a lot. I'm rewatching that season. She literally, like, was super unhappy when, like, Kelly surprised her at The Quiet Woman. And instead of being like, hey, how are you? She was like, she presented herself as like, I understand that you think I'm probably ugly because I've gained weight and I'm at this number and I'm at this percent body fat and whatever. And she, like, said it as an introduction because she carries her wound. She introduces herself through her wound. She feels like she's a living wound. You can see the pain that she's going through because there's a marked change in her physical appearance. She doesn't want you to use that as a weapon against her first, so she'll use it against herself. She'll like hurt herself first. And she talked about the number, but everybody's different. Like, some people don't care about numbers. They just care about how they feel. God bless them. Some people do. Some people care about how clothing fits, whatever else. If you're struggling with that in any way, I just think that like that person needs to be listened to. Now, if we're going to talk about Kim Richards and other stuff, like, where's the line? I think that's an interesting question because Kim probably, if she was, and I'm not like trying to be a dick, but like if she was like in a sober state of mind while they were editing or if she saw a screener, she was probably super embarrassed by like the baggy thing in the limo. Like, she was probably super embarrassed by appearing on a different level of sobriety than other people while they were filming. And I don't know what that level is. I think it was probably potentially helpful for her to not be able to avoid or deny the reality of needing to like for her own health and well-being to like head back to sobriety. Like, she couldn't, and also allegedly like production paid for at least one of her like rehab trips. So like, I think it was maybe her like hitting bottom. I don't know what that must feel like to feel like a network is monetizing it. But I also feel like the whole interesting thing about Real Housewives to me is that initially this show and this franchise started as like, these are women with a lot of money and happy marriages and they're in traditional marriages or whatever else. But guess what? They're just as fucked up as everybody else.
Sure.
And this to me is an example of that. Not that anyone is pretending that like Kim has been in a healthy marriage on camera or has gobs of money, but this is a woman where I'm seeing her struggle with something that I can connect with even if I've never had an issue with drugs and alcohol, you know? Like, so I don't, in some ways, some of this can be really helpful. There are just little moments where there's like these little pockets of vulnerability that you don't need to use to exploit her because she's already agreeing to be exploited, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm going on a little bit of a rant. For some reason, the number thing annoyed the fuck out of me, but maybe it's because I understand that more having gone through it with Emily than I would with like drugs or alcohol. And also, Kim is a vile creature. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Okay, guys, what a great week.
What do you think of the appearance
Emily,
of,
I love you.
Of Megan King Edmonds when... Like when they showed up and Shannon was like, who's that? And then she was like, is that Megan King Edmonds? And I was like, oh, they didn't know that she was going to be there. Do you think that she, was she, do you know what the details of that were? Do you know if she was filming at all this season or did she just film that thing?
First off, I think that Shannon knew that was her and she was just like having a cute little moment. You don't think that Shannon literally didn't know?
I think maybe it was like a surprise because Emily.
It would be strange.
I thought maybe it was like a, you know, production would like threw her in there to like throw a curveball to like make something more interesting. And let me tell you, it did. She, I love her so much. I loved her being in costume, and then I loved her being in the bathroom when Gina and Emily were arguing. And I loved that Emily confided in her, and then Gina was mad about it, and then Gina like yelled at Megan to be like, I don't know you. And Megan was like, and then Megan went back to the table and was like, I've got fucking three kids. I don't care about this anymore. And I was like, oh, come back to the show.
I loved when Alexis was on last week and was talking about
that.
I loved her talking about like how happy she is now that she's getting properly fucked. Like I was very into like Alexis free as a bird, Bellino slash whatever her maiden name was. I'm very into that. And this week with Megan, I could have used more Megan. It felt like she was great as a part of like this was a little extra like treat for us, but she didn't seem to be involved enough, nor could she have been, honestly.
Based on like this, I wish that it was like more of a one-on-one with like her and Shannon or something catching up so that you got more Megan. She could have asked questions about Vicky and Kelly and Tamara.
I honestly can't get enough of the Gina-Emily fight because I feel for both of them, even though I am blessedly on Team Emily 100%. And it's just interesting to me that on Dallas and Orange County for both of these women, for both the Gina and Emily conversation and the Cameron-Stephanie conversation, one person is saying to the other person, you should be vulnerable with me and only me, but I'm going to judge and mock the fuck out of you if you're vulnerable with anybody else. Like with Cameron on Dallas.
Wait, who do you think is doing that between Gina and Emily?
I think Gina's saying to Emily, how fucking dare you talk about our fight with anybody else and be vulnerable? And you're talking to Megan, who you've known for 2 seconds.
Okay.
And Emily's response is like, I tried talking to you,
okay,
but you haven't returned any of my texts. So like, how can you get mad at me for, okay. You're looking at me.
No, because I just don't think they're the same, but I'm listening to you.
Like, no, tell me why.
Well, I want to hear now how you kind of compare that to Dallas.
And
I think
with Dallas, different. It sort of makes sense in my like warped brain. With Dallas, I feel like it's similar in that Cameron is trying to friend shame Stephanie for not being vulnerable when Stephanie's trying to say like, you haven't been vulnerable with me, A, and B, you've been really judgmental. Like, why, if I'm not comfortable being vulnerable with you right now, why aren't you looking at why that is, instead of getting angry at me about it and saying, well, I've technically known you longer than you've known Carrie, why don't you look at yourself and say, wow, why am I presenting as someone that it's fun to like or fine to work out with but not get into really serious conversations? Like, that to me is like, in that moment, Emily looked at Megan King Edmonds as a safe space and Gina got mad at her for it. And in Mexico, Stephanie looked at Carrie with a K as a safe space and Cameron got mad at her for it. It was just sort of interesting to me. It's not equal, well, but it was just kind of
Emily and Gina. No. Yeah. Emily and Gina are like apparently best friends. That's what they keep calling each other.
I think they are really so close, and they started at the same time and they were alienated at the same time.
I think that them being on the outs, Gina's point is like, we were in a fight. I just needed some space. And now you're talking to everyone else. And Emily's like, okay, girl, well, I tried to talk to you, but you weren't available. And I needed to talk to somebody. But I feel like between Cameron and Stephanie, that argument is like different because Cameron is sort of saying, we have a friendship, an established friendship. Why don't you see me as somebody that you can come to? And Stephanie is like, well, I just see you as we have a surface friendship. And then Cameron is like, you've known Carrie for 2 weeks. So like, I don't think Stephanie's in the wrong, but I think that Cameron's point isn't like, I think it, like, I don't think that Stephanie's argument of like, well, we have a surface friendship, like her friendship with Carrie is also surface because they've known each other for 2 weeks. So like, she's not saying like, I don't see that, but like that in you, Cameron. She's sort of like, well, we have this, but Carrie was just, I don't think it's the same thing as
I don't.
Met.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's not the same thing, but the one addendum that'll add to the Cameron Stephanie thing is that the an additional reason why I will be Team Stephanie for life and also in this scenario is because Cameron was saying to Stephanie, why aren't you sticking up for me? And Stephanie's saying, well, I actually have my own opinion. And I think the way that you were using trash was inappropriate. And Cameron is saying, you're wrong. You're wrong to feel that way. I'm invalidating why you're feeling. I do not care how you're feeling. You should only care about how I'm feeling and nothing else. And to compare it to OC one more time, and then let's go back to OC, it felt like a mini, this felt like a mini version of the conversation that Megan King Edmonds had with Heather Dubrow after Glamis Junes, when Heather was like, you're not a good friend for going to the hospital to visit Vicky. You're not a good friend. You're not a good friend. And Megan looked at her at that lunch and just immediately was like, you're right. I'm so sorry. You're totally right. I was completely wrong. Let's move on. It felt like that was similar to how Stephanie was handling Cameron, which I thought was the right choice, to just like back down, because this person is completely on a high horse and there's no way you're going to like.
But I don't think Stephanie did do that, because she tried to make her point about like, I have my own opinions and Carrie. I mean, it is.
I think at the end she agreed to disagree and not push it, which was like sort of a win for Cameron.
I love that scene with Megan, and I think it's iconic between Megan and Dubrow. Heather Dubrow, because Heather Dubrow walked in there ready to cry. Like, she thought she had her storyline for the whole season, and Megan walked in and stopped her in her tracks, and it was so cool because she was like, I am so sorry.
And what Megan and Heather Dubrow wants to be bowed down to, she wants to feel like she's in power, and she never ever wants to feel like she's wrong. And Megan, in order to like move on from this and not feel like she was getting buried or have an argument, was just like, yeah, you're totally right. You're totally right. I thought it was great. I thought Megan King Edmonds was like playing chess and Heather Dubrow was playing billionaire checkers.
I like Stephanie a lot, but I do take a little bit of issue with the way that like she kind of gets in the court of public opinion, as she is sort of like seen as like flawless as the Dallas Housewives, because she lets Brandi get away with a lot of terrible behavior, I think, and has historically. So
yeah, I think,
and
she's like getting better.
And
now
they're not lumped in together, as she has said multiple times. Like, they're not the same person, but she makes that hard when she like doesn't kind of hold Brandi accountable in many scenarios, because she sort of like turns, she's like, well, that's Brandy stuff. We're not the same person. And it's like, okay, cool. But then like, also don't involve yourself in whatever. Like, that's part of the show. So like, you do need to involve yourself, but she like doesn't sort of hold Brandy accountable. So I don't think Cameron is not actually a human being in my brain.
No, she's not.
I don't understand her. Like, I can't figure out if she's acting or if it's real. But that scene, like that part of her argument was, I don't think, was to say like, Stephanie, your feelings are invalid. It was like, you don't stick up for me. You always stick up for Brandy. And like, it's true, whether it's by omission from the conversation of like Brandy stuff, she always sticks up for Brandy. But Cameron was like, you never stick up for me. And Stephanie was like, well, we're not friends. And I think Cameron was like, well, that's news to me.
Well, Stephanie was like, you used the word trash. I disagree with that. That was like triggering for me too. And Cameron was like, I don't care about that. Blah, 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 blah. Back to my earlier argument. Like, it wasn't great. Anyway, let's continue talking about Orange County. So whose side are you on, Gina v. Emily?
I don't know that I have a side at this point.
You don't?
No, because I think that there's a possibility that Emily knew that Shane's cousin. I do.
Damien, I am saying right here, right now, if there is proof, if Tamara isn't talking out of her ass that Emily really did know. Oh my God, happy Saturday. If there is proof that Emily did know, honestly, and was like using this, that is so shitty, and it changes everything. I'm actually very excited about that possibility, because I think that's like so much worse.
Yeah, I think that there is the possibility that he wanted to be on camera.
No, that's true. But do you think Emily, I don't care. This guy is trashed, to use everyone's favorite term. He's trashed to me. So like, I don't care about him. What I care about is, did Emily know and or did Shane know?
I think that they probably knew something.
Gasping again. Like, you said maybe, it 10 seconds ago.
Maybe they didn't know that he was in a relationship, but like, Shane could have been like,
that's the whole thing. The whole thing is, was he in a relationship?
But they could have been like, we know he's dating somebody, but it's not serious. It's not like a girlfriend. You know what I mean? But he's a good guy, and like, it could be a cute scene to film. I think like, when you get into this stuff, it's like, it becomes behind the scenes of production stuff. So you never know like what is the what. Like, but I think that it could have been.
If Emily knew that he was dating and knew that that meant that this date wasn't real and on camera, that is fucked up. I mean, I'm super into it in the sense that that's like even juicier. I'm getting very, very hot and bothered a la Bronwyn. I think that
they thought it would be an innocuous scene a la Ramona going on a date with a stranger on camera, which is like, who goes on a first date on camera? It can't, how can that be real and natural? So I think they were probably like, oh, your cousin who we apparently you've known for a year. Like, I don't know. It just like the thing is Emily's story just keeps getting weirder because she's like, oh, he doesn't.
So much.
She's like, oh, I didn't know. And they're like, it's his cousin. How do you not know? And she's like, well, he's only known him for a year. They didn't grow up together. And it's like, okay, so it's like a friend basically then, because it's not like a cousin of like that you've grown up together, you don't know them. So like they just keep trying to remove themselves more and more. So I think it's shadier. So yeah, and I think that they probably just thought it was something innocuous where they would get to have be on camera, and then he canceled for whatever reason, and then Gina got to the bottom of it, and
he hurt his big toe.
So strange.
But oh yeah. My God, if that's true, honestly, if there are receipts available and Tamara's not talking to her ass and she is not a trustworthy source and that comes out in the reunion or whatever else, I will die. It will be wonderful. That's a four-parter.
I want this season to be the downfall of Tamara, and I don't know if it's going to happen because the trailer for the rest of the season looks really juicy, and it looks like I think Shannon actually says like Tamara's behind all of this.
No, Tamara says that about Shannon.
Oh.
Or maybe they both do, but I remember at one point Tamara's bearing Shannon and says the name and says also, Shannon's name, and I'm like, I will not recover from this. Don't you dare come for my girl.
And they were also like weird terms when the show premiered. I feel like they were on Watch What Happens Live and they were kind of like strange.
It was a strange episode of Watch What Happens Live,
and like someone said something about
but they've been doing press together.
Oh, they have been,
yeah.
So
although Shannon's been like going on like little social gatherings with Bronwyn's,
I watched Watch What Happens Live with a friend when they were on together, and Tamara said something like, "I've never had a real friend until I met Shannon," and I believe that to be true, but I don't think that that means it's like real. Like I think that Shannon has had real friends.
I think that Tamara cannot help herself but manipulate people that she might be in real life friends with. And when Tamara drops Shannon's name and any kind of thing blaming Shannon, I just get very hot and bothered by it because I don't trust her. And I remember when the whole weird talking about Heather Dubrow again, that whole weirdness when like Heather was hosting Good Morning San Diego, California, whatever, Beverly Hills, whatever, that dumb morning talk show that's probably a huge deal over there. And Tamara was like, why didn't you bring up Cut Fitness in a segment? And Heather was like, it was the producers, whatever. And I 1,000% believed Heather. And Tamara used that as a weapon for the rest of the season, that like Heather was like out to get her and wasn't a good friend and annoyed the fuck out of me. Cause it was like, this is someone that's really supportive and you're just burying them for shits and giggles. I just don't trust that Tamara isn't going to turn on Shannon again. And when I watched the teaser for the rest of the season, that's the impression that I got. But also I'm very sensitive about all things Shannon Dubrow, so I could have been like inferring something, but I don't trust Tamara. That being said, I have heard from so many people who are like, Tamara's the worst, kick off Tamara. You and I have said this before.
I think she needs to go away for a little bit.
I don't know how to say this, and I'm really ashamed of it, and I feel like this is a safe space. I'm gonna call myself trash. She hasn't bothered me the last couple episodes. I am so ashamed. I'm so bothered. I love how many of you have reached out telling me what a cunt she is. I appreciate it. I love you for it. You know how I feel about her future on the show. I really haven't been bothered. I've been almost charmed
by Vicky,
by Tamara.
Oh,
I'm disgusted at myself. The shame that I feel.
You're into it.
I need to break my own big toe.
You were into her getting her areola sucked by Bronwyn.
That part, I was honestly watching it. It was like,
you're into her bringing up the train after they all made a pact off camera not to talk about
it. No, that's another time that I was angry at her. Okay, wait, maybe I'm taking it back. Maybe it was just, I don't know why, but there was a moment where somebody was fighting outside of one of Shannon's parties, of which there were 7 this week, and they were fighting and she was silent in that super sparkly sweater. Was it Gina and Emily that were, I don't know, 2 people were yelling at each other, and she was just standing there quiet. She didn't say a word for 45 seconds, and I just watched her be really quiet. I was distracted by her quietness, and I just appreciated it. Is that how low the bar is right now, that I'm enjoying it this much, that I'm like, wow, look at Tamara standing there.
I mean, she also fell out of her chair, which was funny. She was so drunk.
Yeah, I think.
I don't know that I've ever seen her that drunk on the show. I mean, I must have, but.
She herself was naked wasted with Bronwyn. But, true. You know, it was a choice.
I also.
A mission.
I don't know that I've been rocking with. Last season I rocked with Tamara was when they were in Ireland and she got so close to Vicky's face and said, fuck you.
Fuck you!
It made me laugh forever.
I wish I had seen her assault Kelly outside of that Neiman Marcus. That would have been great. Remember when Kelly's like, your own daughter? Camera,
right?
Yeah, which you know they have the footage. Like, let's not use this. So we can get another season.
Yeah, what did she say? I remember.
Kelly was like, your own daughter doesn't want to talk to you. And then people heard it and they were like, don't say that. And then someone told Tamara, my guess is that she dropped her shit. It just made her run more. Hold on a second. And the single best part of that scene is that motherfucking Heather Dubrow was like, I have never been thrown out of a store before, but they came into the dressing room and said, where is that America? She's got to go. And Heather was so angry, not that her friend had physically assaulted a cast member, but that she was asked to leave.
Wait, Heather was on that trip?
Dubrow?
I feel like I forget that she was on the same season with Kelly because she hated Kelly because she thought Kelly cheapened the show
Shannon
so much.
A cunt. Yeah, and she was the one on the midnight bus right. to the airport who was whispering to Megan like she was consoling a scared cat by being like, your friend is a terrible person. Don't worry. Kelly is a monster. And she was like saying that in a stage whisper. As we all know, Heather Dubrow is an actress. And so she was doing her own like super passive regressive inside the actor studio where she was just stroking Megan King and like whispering to Megan King Edmonds and being like, we know she's a nightmare, talking about Kelly in front of Kelly, probably directly next to Kelly. One of the best scenes in all, there was so much there. There was not that I ever want to hear about that David Shannon thing again, because I think it's like very sensitive and like very don't want to hear about it unless Shannon wants to talk about it.
That was the season that Shannon,
the darkest thing that's
Tamara
ever happened,
hated Vicky, right? They didn't talk to her the whole season.
That was the season that they hated her and then made up with her and then found out on the bus that Vicky had told Kelly
right.
that Eddie was gay, which I don't know, and B, that David kicked the shit out of Shannon,
right?
And then Vicky did it again and again and again when they did flashbacks of like Vicky saying like, I know something about Shannon, where you think it's going to be like, I don't know, Shannon declared bankruptcy or Shannon actually does love chemicals
Shannon never said that she and David had domestic violence issues, right? She just
Shannon said the exact opposite, which is that you are lying and I sent you a photo of us and we had gotten into a drunken fight the night before we went to Hawaii or Mexico or something and there were bruises on my body or whatever and I showed it to you and it was from me like falling into a door or something, but it wasn't having to do with this. And look, it was when I was thinner. Look at this photo of when I was thinner in a bikini. She said that as a preface of me in a bikini. And do I look like someone that had been assaulted? Which, spoiler alert, you can't like look like someone. You don't necessarily have to have. Okay. But and Vicky was like, well, I know the truth. I know the truth. And Shannon is hysterically, angrily screaming at her and being like, you are lying. And also, it's none of your business. And also, if someone is a survivor of domestic assault, you can't really use that as like, I've got a big secret. I'm going to use it to fight you.
Oh, Vicky's a, anyway, how are you feeling about Vicky as a friend of?
Vicky's a full-time cast member. The only thing that's been changed, the only thing that's been changed is her title months after production has been shot. I don't understand this whole, like, here's my question. Listen, we're 100 million episodes into Andy's Girls, and there are some weak spots for me and stuff that I don't know and I just don't care enough to learn, or people have told, I'm sure you've told me this repeatedly and I just keep forgetting over and over again, which feels very on brand for me. But so they sign a contract, right? And they're paid a certain amount of money. Mm-hmm. And they don't know who's going to be a friend of until after production is shot when they're in the edit, right?
I'm not sure how. They must find out at some point because, like, the Atlanta Housewives just filmed. They've been filming. And I think they just wrapped. But their photos came out, whatever, like a month ago.
And so Kenya knows that she's full-time.
So they were still filming when they shot those photos. So at that point, they knew who were going to be the Housewives and who were just... like Marlo and Tanya knew that they weren't getting promoted to become full-time housewives. But I'm not sure how the contracts work with when you're like auditioning. I feel like it's probably different when you're not a
right.
I don't know how a demotion would work. Like, I don't think Nene and Candy think that they're like auditioning to be a housewife.
And the weirdness with Vicky is obviously she's the OG of the OC, but I remember there being rumors before production started that they weren't interested in having her back, and she essentially had to beg them and say, I promise I'll get engaged this season, to like give them examples of plot, which mm-hmm. she'll give them. And then, you know, she gets engaged and then like buys herself a different ring. We all pretend it's like completely normal. So I don't remember when that happened, but suffice it to say, regardless of the process, she does feel like a presence in a larger way than
I was. Her in the bedroom was funny.
It was her just like.
She like didn't do anything. And it was so cool.
But she also looked confused. Like she didn't know if she should involve herself. She didn't know like what should happen. I am enjoying her. I don't know, guys. It's like I feel like I'm like a well of bad opinions. I don't know what to do with myself because I really wasn't. I was planning to hate watch this whole season. And it's week 5. Maybe I've mentioned that 3 or 17 times. I'm into it
much more than Dallas currently.
I am into it way more than Dallas. And I am into it just in and of itself. I'm into it, and I don't understand how this happened. Like I really genuinely could talk about it's Gina and Kelly. Emily forever.
It's all Kelly. She started the season off really strong because that's I think what the problem that Beverly Hills has. Like, it's not that I don't want to see people getting along and I don't want to see people being fun and being friends, but that a show, any good story, needs conflict. And if all of those women from Beverly Hills are coming back into the new season filming and nobody has issues with each other, then they have to create a conflict.
And Kelly is a living conflict. Yeah. Kelly will always provide conflict. She's important for this franchise. She is necessary.
That is why someone like Brandy or Jill is no. necessary on New York or Beverly Hills.
Brandy is different to me because she is like too lived in Hollywood, done too many other marriage boot camp, which she's like doing with her mom or something now or whatever. Maybe she did before. Like, she's too desperate to be back. She's too, whereas Kelly is just genuinely accomplished. Kelly is just
accomplished.
A conflict. Like, she's aggressive and reactive and instinctive in good and terrible ways and communicates in very interesting and special ways.
Can you make this a poll this on your Instagram? I want to know how people feel about the possibility of Brandy coming back to Beverly Hills.
Fine. And I will post the results, even though you the way that you're smiling at me makes me think I'm about to get fucked and not in a way that Bronwyn appreciates.
You can CC me in the story.
I will CC you.
Because I think that it's not that much different than Kelly.
Can I read you a quasi-related satchel from Lisa in Vancouver, Canada, and tell me your thoughts? Vicky saying Kelly does coke was inappropriate and a low blow, but Kelly's portrayal of herself is what gave the story any credit. People would have a harder time giving it a second thought if it was Shannon, but Kelly's own regular behavior on TV makes it something to stop and wonder. Saying that one particular thing is what has, quote unquote, hurt her daughter, and then talking on national TV about getting pounded, what is happening? Nonstop vagina talk, showing her naked ass in the pool, nothing wrong with that, but typically super embarrassing for a teenager to have people see their mom no matter how good she looks. I think Kelly is probably doing a good job on her own of hurting Jolie, ouch, and having parents weary of their kids hanging out with her at her home. Having said that, Kelly makes the show, just saying she should relax on the Vicky and my daughter stuff, which I don't think came. I don't think that was. This was sent to me this week. I think that certainly applies to last week's episode.
But she's saying
it online.
Vicky
too.
Said that Jolie couldn't. That Kelly couldn't be at Jolie's school, right?
Yeah,
and Kelly called Michael, and Michael said that was utter bullshit.
And Kelly was like, the coke stuff too. P.S. Tamara said on some sort of interview press thing, whatever, that she had also, maybe it was the after show, that she had also heard those rumors about Kelly not being allowed at the school, but she herself was like, I'm not going to address this because it's just a rumor and I don't know what the source is. Like, I don't have any actual proof.
I think that the stuff with like cocaine and I think it's strange that Vicky would talk about these things. She's been on the show for so long. And like, I get it. Like, you talk, sometimes maybe something comes out of your mouth accidentally. And then sometimes you make decisions to talk about things to create story. I'm not sure which version she's going with.
The latter. I can guarantee it.
But I think that this talking about people's like that can make things pretty complicated when you have kids and you are like a noted coke head on national television, you know? So I think that it's different to be talking about like having a healthy sex life or like enjoying getting pounded or like skinny dipping in on a vacation than it is to like have a label as like somebody who is like a coke fiend, because it's like it's still an illegal drug.
Frankly, I don't think that like this kind of communicative style is something that Jolie will be surprised at, considering what we've
seen
so far.
She lives in her home, you know?
So, yeah, and her mom talks to her about a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, so I think that those other things are things that Jolie knows her mom.
Also, I believe a lot in the power of education. So if somebody wants to take me on a $10,000 trip to London for camp or whatever.
That was so fucking cool. On a private jet. I'm so glad she dumped that guy. Or he kind of dumped her, but like, I'm so glad
he's gone. Dr. Brian Reagan.
He was so sick. I'm so glad he's gone.
But I think he still lives below her. Ugh. In their apartment, which is like condemned or something.
He's like a scoop of ice cream. I can't stand him.
Well, I feel personally insulted by what he said was a diamond, which was most certainly not. He said it was like a rose gold. It was trash. It was my favorite word. Drinking game every time you hear me say trash this week or cunt, take a drink.
So let's talk about Dallas.
Fine.
Tell me your thoughts on Carrie, because I know you've Carrie with a K, because I know you've been having some issues with her.
I've just only been having issues because allegedly I'm watching a show this season and I don't know why she's on TV. It's hard for me to like, I got more fun watching Carrie with a C stand there silent, looking pristine, like the most beautiful. I do not mean this as an insult. She looks like she's done some stuff. And I love all of it. Yeah, it's like good. A heightened Pat Wexler. Like, yeah. You know how Jill Zarin talks about her liquid facelifts? This is like a heightened, shinier, I don't know. She almost looks like a beautiful, like, duck swan thing. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. She looks wonderful. I think she looks great. She also looks like a fucking rich AF Real Housewife. And I don't understand why I'm being taunted by seeing her in
Do you know what the deal was? I caught the very tail end of an interview Leanne was doing on, like, People TV. And she said that Carrie, the way she made it seem is that like Carrie didn't want to be on camera, and
that's 1,000% her being a friend to Carrie. Carrie absolutely wanted to be on camera and herself produce some pilot of like her running her plastic surgery Starbucks coffee shop thing and was shopping it around. And Brandy got mad at her because Carrie announced it, I think, the day that the trailer went out, and Brandy took that as like someone like coming for her show, which is completely ridiculous. Anyway, Carrie Duber wanted to be back. They didn't want to have her back, so they chose this Carrie, and she is stupid. And here's the thing, is that like she's, I'm sure, a wonderful person.
She might not be a wonderful person, Sarah.
I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt if we're pretending that like means anything in this world anymore. So she's probably a perfectly fine person. You know, if I was upset, I would probably be vulnerable with Carrie with a K. But she's not great in this group. She has her head so far stuck up Deandra's ass. It's a weird gray area with me in terms of that strange Wednesday at 3 o'clock bachelorette party in a large room that was like a third filled.
But that feels unfair to me to judge that her stuff was on like a Wednesday afternoon because they're filming a television show.
I know. I'm saying it's not real. I'm saying it looks like it was produced for TV. God bless.
But like, I thought it was also weird that the show kept that in as like Carrie with a K shade of like, who has a lingerie party on Wednesday afternoon? It's like, I don't know, bitch. Isn't this your job? Like, isn't this when I'm at my 10 to 6, you're at this?
Did Carrie say that or did Carrie Duber say that?
No, Carrie with a K.
This was a different, this week was the Bachelorette, which was seemingly a midweek.
Same type of thing, yeah.
Yeah, during business hours kind of situation. Of course it was production.
I'm sorry I called her the B word.
No, that's okay. So, do you mean bad at her job? Is that what it is? So the problem for me is like, listen, here's the thing. Production said to her, bring up Deandra, or production's like, remember why we hired you? Because you're like a good friend of Deandra. Okay, camera, shoot. Okay, turn it on. Like, it's like, you know that a lot of, she wouldn't be, but it's, that's the whole premise of the show, is that you like talk about shit and it's heightened drama. The fact that, the problem for me is that like, I think Carrie with a K actually believes the bullshit she's spouting to Leanne. And I was 1,000% Leanne in the argument that they had at her Wednesday at 3 o'clock bachelorette party / like brunch situation. Because Carrie is first off saying that a 50th birthday party is more important than a wedding, which is insane to me. Like, completely the dumbest thing that I've ever heard. Completely inappropriate. She's telling Leanne that it's Leanne's job to both forgive and forget when there are two different things. You can forgive someone and not forget. And also, it is a wedding party associated with a wedding where she's marrying a man that Deandra intimated and explicitly said she'd heard rumors had like cheated on other people and maybe also Leanne. So why the fuck would Leanne invite this woman who could have compromised her relationship to this event? And also, it's Leanne's choice. And You can forgive but not forget. It is Leanne's choice, and she shouldn't be shamed for deciding that she can forgive Deandra, but she's not going to forget it. Now, if I was Leanne for TV and other purposes, I wouldn't have invited Deandra to any of the pre-wedding festivities, but I would have invited her to the ceremony because you were her maid of honor when she married hot war photographer Jeremy. So I would have invited her because this is someone, you have history with her, you have history with Mama D. Just invite them to the ceremony. You don't even necessarily need to invite them to the reception, although I feel like there's probably some like post article about how that's inappropriate, but invite them to the special day. You can see them as much as you want to. You'll be surrounded by love and you'll be the belle of the ball, but don't invite them to the pre-events. I think it would have been insane for Leanne to have invited Deandra to this pre-stuff knowing what happened to them last season. And I thought it was genuinely insane that Carrie with a K was trying to like genuinely instigate and incite a Leanne themed riot at her bachelorette and then be like, well, you're talking, and like have these weird little retorts and seem genuinely confused as to why she was losing. Like, I think in some small part of Carrie's with a K's very small brain, she really believes this. And that is what is so frustrating to me, because I, in this context, fully believe Leanne. And I also think that's why later on in the episode, we watched like some snippets of the episode before we started recording. Mm-hmm. Later on in the episode, there's a moment where, speaking of vulnerability, where Carrie with a K is being vulnerable to Leanne about Carrie's having a rough childhood. Her mom like kidnapped her when her parents were going through a divorce and like brought her back to Mexico, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And Leanne's like, oh, are you saying that as some sort of contrast to my childhood? And Carrie's like, no. And then Carrie brings up that, like, I think, am I making this up, guys? Fact check me on Insta. That, like, Carrie brings up that, like, Leanne seems to be using her childhood as an excuse or whatever, blah, 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 and they get into it, which is, like, a revolving theme.
I'm so sick of that weird, like, abuse competition that's happening where the women are like, Leanne keeps bringing up her abuse. We're sick of hearing about it. You're using it. And it's like, Leanne keeps saying she killed her to kill herself. And it's like, okay, cool. That's true that she did. Maybe she does bring it up at inappropriate times.
Okay,
please
cool.
Stop trying to one up her with your own stuff, or like stop the way they're talking about the like abuse and childhood abuse is so strange. And then like the way Carrie is qualifying Leanne's abuse or the way she's talking about it. And then, but then also bring.
Yeah. They're expecting that this woman who has survived a lot of trauma, why she wouldn't bring it up. And I think Leanne brings that stuff up, not to one up. I think she uses it as a wall to like shut stuff down, as a self-protective mechanism.
And maybe to justify bad behavior, to say, yeah, like I've
and maybe
been
she has
stuff.
Some justification for that. She did not learn proper coping skills, and try as you might, some of that shit remains embedded in your DNA. And Leanne might use it a little as a self-protective whatever. I'm not going to judge her for that. But Carrie seems to think that Leanne should trust Carrie's intentions all the time, and feels horrified or looks horrified or responds as someone who's like completely mystified why Leanne would respond back and be like, are you saying this as a way to insult me or cut me down or whatever else? And it's like, there is no trust here. Leanne and Deandra don't have trust, and Leanne and Carrie don't have trust. And I don't see that getting better. I see it getting worse. And I put a lot of blame for that on Carrie.
I am exhausted by the Leanne and Deandra argument. Like, Leanne is a complicated person. But Deandra, I find to be the most unlikable housewife maybe ever. She's like, I'm so like, I don't care. I don't have any sympathy for her. I think that
she had such a good first season before
we knew
her.
Yeah, and I think she totally changed who she was. I think like the tell, like,
do you think more, you're saying this morally, you're not saying this as a bad housewife, because
I mean, I'm like, don't like her. I don't like watching.
Peggy Sulahan is in the top five.
Oh yeah. But I'm saying I don't like Deandra, and I don't like have sympathy or empathy for her story. Like the fact that like we're still having this conversation, it's like they are like in a fight because Deandra thought, because she came from a certain family, that she was the star of the show, and they're still arguing about that. Like she's mad that she's mad that her white trash carny friend is the star of a show that she joined, and their friendship fell apart. And, like, I'm not interested in Deandra should not be invited to any part of that wedding, in my opinion. She spread a huge rumor because she wanted to be famous and relevant.
100%.
And she doesn't deserve to be invited. I'm annoyed by everyone talking about it, including Brandy and Stephanie and Cameron. Like, nobody – this point, like, let this die, because it was all of last season. So, like, it's done. Like, you have to either forgive and forget, or should I say, you need to forgive and move on so that the show can move on. Or you decide you're not going to and you don't deal with each other. But, like, the idea that Carrie is there being like, you need to invite her. It's like, one, I don't know what the history is outside of the show. It's nothing. But if you guys are friends forever, okay, cool. But you're not. And also, like, no one – you're not a voice of reason. Like, we don't think that they need to be friends. Or, like, this isn't the place to do it. You aren't the vessel of the person who's supposed to be telling her this. Like, I was so into watching Leanne eviscerate her. But – I still feel like Leanne is getting this, like, she's a villain. And, like, I'm exhausted by that, too. Frankly, I wanted Leanne to, like, kind of coast through this season and just get married. Like, I didn't really want her to be the center of drama. Like, I'm exhausted by everyone just hating Leanne. It's, like, it's like watching Jersey where it's, like, everything has to be about Teresa.
Oof, that's a...
That's how I feel.
It's
like
a shitty comparison for Leanne to deal with.
Everything is connected to Leanne. It's, like, everything is connected to Leanne. Anyone who aligns themselves with Leanne is in the wrong. So it's like watching Cameron and Stephanie fight. I'm like, oh, of course. Like, the lines are drawn again. So it's Leanne and Cameron versus Carrie, Brandy, and Stephanie. Again, like, it's like that is the same. It's like the same thing we've watched the last two seasons. And the last two seasons were great. Carrie Duber became a really interesting character because she actually seemingly formed a real friendship with Leanne. And so her kind of vacillating between both sides and, like, her being on bad terms with Brandy because of that. And, like, all of that was interesting. But now it's, like, we're back all over again. So now the new girl aligned herself with, like, Deandra and Carrie and Stephanie and Brandy. And it's, like, watching Cameron and Leanne just be, like, I don't know who Cameron is. Like, I don't get it. And Leanne is the villain. And it's, like, this is exhausting. I don't think Leanne's the villain. I think Deandra's a bad person who wants to be famous, got a crazy facelift, got a bad company. Like, I think that's hilarious to me that she's, like, got the company and it's, like, a joke and it's, like, everyone apparently knew it was a joke is what Leanne said on Watch What Happens Live. Like, that everyone knew it was already in...
Yeah, and she didn't say it in a way that was like...
She wasn't being negative.
She was like, oh, she was like, it's a lemon. Like, we knew it's been in the red for a long time.
She said that she didn't... She was really honest in the...
She was. She was not being disrespectful.
She said, like, I don't think that Deandra knew how bad it was. But right. But I think we all knew that the company was in decline.
And Leanne also said on the show, and I agreed with Leanne, and also empathized with her and felt like she was not trying to bury Deandra at all. She was like, I said to Deandra, go into the office. Like, find out what the numbers are. And I believe her that she probably did say to Deandra, like, what's happening here? Like, have you done a real look through the books? And she didn't. And also, there's a scene for next week of a little quick snippet of Deandra going to, like, I don't know, a picnic with Mama D or whatever. And Mama D, like, makes some side joke of, like, you're poor or something. It was very weird. And I can't wait to see what the actual context is. But, like, Deandra's interesting to me if and when we find out she is flat ass broke because her trust is literally untrustworthy. I mean, like, there's no money there. So that is something that is an episode.
Yes,
I would.
That's interesting to that me. That is her relationship with Leanne is no longer interesting to me because at this point I know
it's broken.
I know. I know that they both valued the fame in the show more than they valued their own friendship.
Agreed.
And I honestly think that and I do blame Deandra for that more because she came on to a show that Leanne was already the star of. So she came on and like that. Who's that? I don't know the intimacies of their friendship, but that's my judgment is like that Deandra is worse off for it because she came on as Leanne's lackey and then like watched the friendship fall because they got into an argument off camera about who was the queen. That is wild to me. They are 50.
It is super wild. I'm just
sorry. That was a real rant.
No,
about,
we both had our rants this week and I loved yours. I can't believe that you think she's the worst Real Housewife.
I think she's one of
you think she's worse than Carrie with a K?
Well, I think that Carrie with a K is operating that place that I think Kelly Dodd did in season one and that somebody else that I just was on the tip of my brain.
Peggy Sulahan.
I mean, maybe like in a way, Brandy, not Peggy. No way is Peggy because Peggy didn't do anything. Like
that's what I thought you were going to say.
Kelly came on and like instantly blew everything up, and everyone, including Heather Dubrow and Sarah Galley,
super
could
unlikable.
Not deal with it
completely.
And I think that Carrie is attempting to do that, which is to say, like she's trying to blow up every moment and to be like trying to engage in plot and drama to move stuff. So, like, will I thank her at the end of this season when the season is good because she is the one who, like, was the driving force? Because Stephanie and Cameron and Brandy weren't going to make Leanne's bachelorette shower, whatever the fuck it was. They weren't going to make it that about the Deandra stuff. You know what I mean? Like, they needed somebody to, like, drive plot. And so Carrie is doing that. So I don't hate her yet. Deandra, I hate her now because I feel like I see her pretty, like, I think she's kind of gross. Yeah.
Huh.
She's up there in my top
five. That's a thinker.
In my five worst.
Who else is in your five worst?
I don't know. I never thought about this, honestly. It's just like I find her to be so, like, I'm so, I have no compassion for her. And that's like hard when you're trying to root for people. You are so shocked.
I feel like that's giving her so much attention that Carrie with a K doesn't deserve. And I feel like the thing with Kelly is at least like Kelly.
You hated
was,
Kelly. You said she had to go. Issues with her, and like, she's got to go.
She was awful. She was just like a black hole of evil. And I didn't like the way that she was sort of becoming a little bit of a Orange County demon. But with Carrie with a K, I'm like, she's just stupid. It's like, I want Carrie with a C back.
These shows need these women, the new women though. And this is why one of the Basketball Wives did an interview recently and they said they always bring in new.
Which one?
It was like an old one. It was like Megan James, who was on an old season.
Oh, okay.
But she did an interview and she said they always bring in new girls because they need new girls to start drama with the old, like the existing girls. And then she was saying Basketball Wives usually fires those new girls. So it's like every season they're just cycling in new people, which is like kind of true and false. But Housewives needs the new women. They need to invigorate the cast because at a certain point, people are like, we're all coworkers and we like each other, and or no one wants to watch us argue with the same people over and over and over again. So we need new people to come in and shake shit up. So I think that Carrie is like coming in and doing the thing that she was supposed to do as a new housewife. I don't like her, but I think that she's like has created most of the conflicts. Unfortunately, again, everyone wants to fight with Leanne because she's the star of the show. And like, to me, that's exhausting. Like, fight with Stephanie. I want to see the ugly parts of Stephanie. And I don't mean that as like, I don't like Stephanie. I just like, I want to see someone get under Stephanie's skin in a way. I'm not talking about Stephanie.
He's
like,
looking. He's reacting to your faces I'm giving him.
Yeah, because I don't think that Cameron thing wasn't real. Like, it was, the stakes were not there. It was not a real argument about anything. Like, people are attacking Leanne in real ways about being like, invite Deandra to your wedding.
Well, Cameron does attack Stephanie in the teaser for next week. Cameron's like, did you not tell Leanne you were going to her like ninth bridal thing? And Stephanie's like, essentially like, don't fucking talk to me. I believe that is real because I believe that Cameron is like genuinely enough. She's so privileged and rich and spoiled and obnoxious that she really thinks that Stephanie should bow down. And Stephanie's like, go fuck yourself. I am a pristine angel, which she, by the way, fact checking 100% is.
Yeah, I mean, I like Stephanie because of like her struggles, like with her depression and how open she is about that. And I like her because she's funny.
And like sweet and kind and lovely and warm and charitable and amazing.
Sure. I mean, she seems cool. I also just like want to see dark sides of her because everybody contains those things. Like everyone contains multitudes. And like Leanne can't be the only interesting person. And it's exhausting to watch the same person defend themselves. Like also the stuff that Stephanie's defending herself about inviting Cameron to or not a bachelorette party for Leanne is a lot different than defending your husband. Rumors that your husband cheated on you. You know what I mean? Like the stakes are so low with some of the other women's stuff that it's like exhausting to watch. Like Cameron's mad at Brandy and and Stephanie for like carrying around a dildo on a trip. And it's like, cool. That's a lot different than being like, invite Deandra who said that your husband cheated on you. Invite her to your wedding and all your, it's like, that's exhausting. And it's exhausting to watch it as a viewer to be like, of course Leanne is like unhinged and insane and wants to have hands and kill people because people are constantly attacking her things. But then it's like, when it's like, people are, you carried a dildo around and that's like, and I have manners and you guys don't. It's like, that's stupid. It's funny. It's like Housewives needs to have those different layers of drama, but I'm tired of Leanne being the center of everything on Dallas.
I'm concerned for Dallas. I don't follow ratings. You follow ratings more than I do. I've had people that are like, da-da-da-da-da.
I think it's the worst rated one, if I'm not mistaken. Because it's new, yeah. And also it's not doing well.
I don't think they could have afforded to have the response to the season the way it is, where I feel like if the ratings aren't good, if people are like completely vocally like, we love it, we love it, we love it, they'll give it maybe more of a shot. But it's the combination of middling ratings and like flat responses from viewers. Because this is not, to me,
episode,
an enjoyment.
The last couple episodes was great. Have like been getting better. So
it was fine.
Like,
it was good. It was
so
great. It was
maybe
good.
It'll find its footing. And I don't know. Maybe Carrie will become like a Kelly Dodd where you're like, I hate her, but she made all of the things happen. Well, you said it here first. There's no way. Let's see what happens.
I know. I've been wrong before.
I mean,
I've been not wrong, but
Beverly Hills and New York also don't get good ratings. So
Beverly Hills got like series best rating. Well, that was because of the fucking dog or whatever this past season.
Oh, it's series rate best is like different than like good ratings.
I thought Beverly Hills was like super high. See, this thing, I really don't follow ratings.
I'm pretty sure that it's like Atlanta. I think it's like Potomac, Atlanta, New Jersey. I'm not joking. Like those are the three best rated.
Really?
Yep.
Then I would think Beverly Hills would be like fourth and then New York after that.
I don't know.
And then everybody else.
I always, because we live in New York. I feel like so many New York media people watch
New York.
We
all watch it. Everybody in New York watches New York.
Which is interesting.
It's our own little bubble. It's a bubble I love to live in. I love to sit on the people's feet.
Oh, I got heated about Leanne. I was in such a laid back mood.
No, please. Speaking of being in a laid back mood, I am not in a laid back mood about a very exciting announcement. Andy's Girls listeners, you've been asking about this for forever. And lo and behold, it's finally arrived. AG merch, official merch. Are you planning to attend BravoCon? Do you have Santa owing you a gift that's not just coal? My God, if you visit TeePublic in a custom link that will be included in the description for this episode, you can buy your very own OG of the AG hoodie. You can buy stickers. You can buy magnets. You can buy mugs. You can buy so many t-shirts with so many inside jokes, including, of course, an Andy's Girl t-shirt. If you consider yourself to be an Andy's Girl, as we all do, I want to see you wearing it. I want to see you tagging me in it. I want to hear about you buying it. I want to hear about you loving it. You get to decide the quality of the materials of the t-shirt. There's so you get to you could choose a city, a, one of those weird city shirts that everybody loves.
Oh, like Potomac, like the, New York. Is Miami listed on it?
Miami and DC did not make the t-shirt, nor did they make anybody's like sense memory that they want to treasure. But anyway, guys, I hope you love the merch. Give me your thoughts and feels, but only if they're positive. And I want to see you in it at a BravoCon. If I run into people wearing AG merch at BravoCon, I will like literally die. Like D-I-E, literally. Quite literally will die. So I hope you guys love it. If you don't tell me about it and wear it for Halloween. I don't know. Be your best OG of the AG. And yes, we have that merch available as well. Damian Bellino, tell the people how to follow you and whatnot.
You can follow me on everything on Instagram, Twitter, Venmo, and Facebook at Damian Bellino, DamianBellino.
Venmo, Damian, and myself $1 and tell us how much you love the OGs of the AGs when we reconnect. Twitter at Sarah Galley, Instagram at Dame Galley. I will put up a poll on Instagram of do you want to see Brandy return to Beverly Hills? If you love me,
just be honest. Just fine, I know be that honest. I know that you might feel like she's a Sarah's favorite word, trashy, but also like, does Beverly Hills need her right now?
Here's what Beverly Hills needs. I've said this for the last several episodes in a row. I will continue saying it. I will say it to her the next time I have her on the People's People's Couch. Bring Leah Black to Beverly Hills. You have seen her in cameos on Flipping Out or whatever else she's done. Maybe Million Dollar Listing. I think I'm making that up. She has a house in LA. She is very wealthy. She is an actual alpha. She could be the new queen of BH. God forbid. She is funny, smart, quick, witty, done and done. I don't know why this isn't happening. It seems so deeply obvious. I cannot. If we're going to talk about the Marvel universe of Real Housewives, if Miami is super dead, bring back the superhero.
Interesting. I mean, it's only a matter of time before they make someone move to a different city. So I'm wondering who maybe that'll be the first example.
It would be magical. Also, shout out to Juicy Joe, who I would maybe be okay with having sex with, but only if I don't have to see his face. Because the problem is, like, from the neck down, it's great. But when you see the neck up, it just really isn't doing anything for me. But shout out to Juicy Joe. I did not recognize you, and I have stared at an assortment of new photos of you. New,
you
not
follow
nude.
Him now?
He's not on Instagram. It's just shit that Gia and Tree are posting. Poor Teresa, the one time you'd actually want to have sex with Juicy Joe in a vineyard in Napa, and now he's like off in Italiano.
You think they're going to go to Italy on the trip?
I think she's negotiating that into her contract to get an on-camera reunion with him. I think they're going to get divorced. I don't think that a single person should critique her for that decision based on the last 3.5 years and also the fact that their marriage has been dead since probably like a year after they got wed.
Oh my goodness, you were ready to go.
I mean, I have some thoughts and feelings, and that's why you guys listen to AG. So tell us your thoughts and feels. Damian, you know I love you and I'm obsessed with you.
Thanks for having me.
We need to crowdsource people buying us our own merch to wear in the photo. And I will 1,000% probably, maybe, possibly take a selfie of us with me wearing this I Stand For Shan t-shirt. And shout out to Taylor from somewhere in the United Kingdom for making this for me. It is amazing and I really appreciate it. And I appreciate all of you. Damian, love you.
Shout out to Alexis Bellino.
Shout out to Alexis Bellino. So glad you're getting fucked. And guys, we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.